Thank you for joining us at Books as Bad as Twilight podcast. This podcast will discuss books that may or may not be as bad as the popular series Twilight. As can be expected, we will discuss the books in detail, so spoiler alert.
We highly suggest you read the book beforehand or read along with us. You can use the link in our show notes to purchase the current book we're reading. Also in our show notes are links to the Books as Bad as Twilight website and all of our social media pages. Quick shout out to our image designer, Katie Hartung. Her website is listed in our show notes at khartgraphics.com. khartgraphics.com.
Music at the beginning of the show provided by Gabe Miller Music. You can find him on YouTube, SoundCloud, and his website, GabeMillerMusic.com. My little buddy.
All right.
I think, like, after what?
That was going to make a dirty joke.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Little buddy.
No, don't go there.
No. PG podcast.
PG. No, this is explicit. PG
Oh, because we say fuck. Mm-hmm.
This is explicit. Yes.
Whoops. I'm sorry.
That'd be funny at the end. No, I marked it as explicit on iTunes.
Okay,
so,
good.
Yeah, so people should know. If you don't know, then...
Spoiler alert.
I don't know what to tell you.
Whoops.
All right. Yeah, whoops indeed. All right. Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Books as Bad as Twilight. My name is Danielle.
And I always go...
Yeah. Me too. I do that a lot.
I am Brittany.
We're good at podcasting. And today, we are
Sorry.
We're even better at reading
Ooh.
Lost in a Book by Jennifer Donnelly. Yes, indeed. So, today we're discussing chapter 25 through 29.
Mm-hmm.
Spoiler warning, up to chapter 29.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's a given. If you're listening to this, please have read the entirety of the book until chapter 29. So you have to actually read chapter 29. So up to chapter 30.
Yes.
And if you like the show, if you like listening to us, why don't you consider giving us a 5-star review on iTunes? It would help us out a lot and make us all fuzzy and warm inside.
Right. Like alcohol.
Yeah. So true. And if you want to listen to more episodes, if you're new to the show and you're like, oh, I want to listen to the previous episodes, well, you are in luck, my friend, because we are available on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, hopefully Spotify, and our website, BABAT
podcast.com.
Baba
tea.
Yeah. I love Baba tea, Babette.
Babette.
But
oh, yeah, I keep
like Baba,
forgetting.
But Baba tea, I actually keep forgetting. So when you just said Babette. That, it reminded me. So Baba tea. Because, well, that's a long story. Listen to our previous episodes. You'll get the joke.
Yeah, we're not going to go through that again.
It's pretty funny, I think. So enjoy. So why don't we begin with chapter 25?
See.
One sentence summary. Let me get this.
Ooh. Oh, yeah. Chapter 5 summary. When a beetle has bigger balls than Belle.
I actually kind of love that picture because she's like, what are you going to do? Mm-hmm. like,
that's very true.
I wasn't sure what other picture I would put there. So I was just kind of like, you know what? I think I'm safe with that.
For some reason, her hands are weirding me out, man.
They do look kind of weird there.
She has like talons.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Yeah, for someone who works with their hands, she has really long fingernails.
Oh, yeah. Look at
That's
those nails.
All I'm saying.
Those nails remind me.
Maybe we should push the picture on our Instagram so they understand
what
we're saying.
Idea. We'll do that. I think we'll put a lot of these pictures on our Instagram. Yes. I think that's a good idea. So, yeah. Great idea, Brittany.
Thanks. I have them sometimes.
Yeah. No, all the time, Brittany. You're full of good ideas.
It's all in the kidneys, and I point to my head.
In the kidneys?
Yeah. My grandfather, when we'd have good ideas, he'd point to his head and be like, it's all in the kidneys.
Ah.
Playing that you had a great idea, however, you're dumb because you think your kidneys are in your brain. in your head.
It's in the kidneys.
Yeah. So anyways, chapter 25.
Yes. All right. So we're back to Belle And is she like sitting on a... I was kind of confused.
She's like on a terrace in Paris in a cafe.
Right. Okay. Gotcha. For some reason, I was reading this. I just assumed that she was... They were like eating on the carriage. And I don't know why I assumed that because...
Oh, no. They did say they were in a cafe.
Yeah. So I think I was confused too because like Love was actually in the cafe. Like inside. So I guess they're sitting outside.
Yes. That's what I assumed.
Yeah. So she's sitting outside and...
she already ate a tea cake.
She ate a tea cake. And there's a beetle who landed on Belle's sweets. And he tells her, Belle, you're being fed lies.
Yes.
And then Belle offers him, like, a treat. Like, she's like, do you want some, beetle? Like, because she's like, do you want something to eat?
Oh, yeah. She says that first.
Okay. Yeah, that's why.
And he's like, you're a fool. It's like, yeah. Jesus.
It's like, whoa.
Like, this beetle has some attitude issues.
He does have attitude issues. He introduces himself as, hopefully I pronounce this right, Lachanos. And,
looks right.
And the spider is named Arane, which I think is supposed to be a play on arachne. I think that's how you say it. It's like a word for spider.
Oh, yeah, like arachnid.
Arachnid, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm guessing that's what it's a play on. Whatever.
Beetle's like, nah, 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 nah. It's dangerous here. Yeah. He's so sarcastic.
He is.
It's really funny.
Actually, he's the... You know what? I just realized. I got him confused with Mouchard. He's the one I pictured as a sassy gay man.
Oh, okay.
From last episode. That makes more sense. Yeah, from last episode, we were talking about how we pictured Mouchard, and I got them confused. So that makes sense now. Okay.
Yeah.
I get it now.
So the Beatles, like, I think this is really funny. The beetle's like, you're being fed lies, foolish girl. She's like, you can speak, said Belle. And he said, clearly.
Yeah, clearly.
Stop eating things. It's dangerous and nevermore.
He makes me think of the butler. I don't know if you've ever watched the show The Nanny.
No, thanks. Yeah. The Nanny. Oh, like that old 90s show?
Yeah, it's like with Fran Drescher and...
That
yeah,
girl,
yes.
That woman?
Yes. Oh my gosh, that was great.
Chandler Bing. Yeah.
Well, not her, but yeah.
Are they the same person? Mm-hmm. Oh, I guess not.
No, that's Maggie Wheeler, I think her name is. Fran Drescher, yeah. Fran
Go
Drescher,
on.
She's like, oh, Mr. Sheffield.
Mr. Sheffield.
Yeah. Oh, wow, you did really good. That
Thank
was great.
You.
The butler on there, kind of that, like, I think of him when I think of this beetle. There is a typo in this book on page 152 of the hardcover. It is... Okay, so the sentence is in the middle of the paragraph on page 152. It's paragraph 6, in case you're wondering. It says, in the instant before his eyes closed, they met Belle's. The look in them was so full of longing, the Belle's heart hurt for him.
Oh, this is when they're talking about
King Otto. Yeah, so it's a little farther in the chapter. We'll get there, but yeah. So, just a little. But let me tell you, I'm a stickler for typos. Not that they bother me, but I'm not kidding you. I think every book I read, I find a typo.
Oh, really?
I wish that I wrote them all down and what pages they were on, because at this point, like, I don't do it most of the time because I'm like, it's too late now.
Yeah.
I've skipped there. How many books have I read and I find typos? Want me to show you?
Yeah, because I'm trying to find it in the auto book, in the...
right there. The Belle's heart.
It said that Belle's heart.
Yeah. Well, it shouldn't even say that. It just should say Belle's heart hurt for him.
Oh,
but
yeah.
But instead it says the Belle's heart hurt
it's
for
in,
him.
It's in the Kindle version,
it
too.
It is there?
In the instant before his eyes closed, they met Belle's. The look in them was so full of longing, the Belle's heart hurt for him.
Yeah.
Oh.
And it's not like, huh. I'm not critiquing the book when I'm bringing that up. It's just I love finding typos. I don't know. So, the beetle, Lachanos, goes on to explain the rule of three to Belle. And what I wrote here is Belle is 25% skeptical, 75% not down with the beetle's claims. Because she's like, but the countess, she talked about the madwoman with the bugs. So, well, clearly that's correct. Mm-hmm. Like, and I can't trust you. So, you know.
Does he explain the rule of three?
he does. I don't know if he goes into as much depth as they do in the last chapter. I mean, with Love and Death. Let me see if I can find that page. Let's see. Where is it? You can speak. You see it?
Yeah. It is important that you understand the rule of three. If you eat things or leave things, he abruptly stopped talking.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
his eyes darted to the right. I looked left, but it's okay. Yeah.
That's great. And yeah, so he, or I should say Lachanos and Erinne scurry away.
I actually really like the name Erinne.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it actually is pretty fitting, I'd say.
It's pretty.
Yeah, it is pretty. They push the plates of food so they shatter on the ground when the Countess returns.
And they scuttle away.
Oh, that just makes me think of scuttle.
Well, yeah, it's the word.
Well, I mean scuttle. I'm sorry, I should clarify. The character scuttle from The Little Mermaid.
Oh, okay.
That's what I meant. I'm not stupid, I promise.
That's so funny.
I just think of Scuttle because, like, okay, how could you forget Scuttle when he's during Kiss the Girl and he's singing? He's like, wah.
Oh, okay.
Wah. That makes no context to what we're thinking, but it's just, I love Scuttle. What can I say? I have a problem. I love Scuttle. Okay, anyway.
Continuing. I'm going to get you a bag of Skittles for Scuttles.
Ah. If we were doing a Little Mermaid podcast, that'd be perfect. We're not at that part yet. Just kidding. So Belle explains what happened to the Countess. She tells her everything.
She does.
Yeah.
But
I mean, we don't know because it just says.
Yeah, at one point she doesn't tell her everything.
Right. Yeah, that's later. Yeah.
When she gets the smallest bit of suspicion.
Yes.
That Nevermore is not all as it seems. But at the moment, here's a woman that's like, I'm gonna take you all around the world. I think, okay, Death is seducing Belle. Like, on more ways than one. Because there are times where she's brushing the hair out of Belle's face, and she kissed her on the forehead, and, like, she rushed away.
That's true.
And, like, she's enticing her with all of these. She's courting her.
Yeah.
She's like, here's all this beautiful food. I'll take you anywhere you want to go. I've done this all for you.
She distracts Belle. Like, Belle's, like, listening to her, like, so engaged.
Yeah.
And Belle really reacting to Henry is so different compared to the Countess.
Yes.
That's interesting.
And Henry's supposed to be the love.
Yeah, we'll get into that.
Romance thing.
Yeah, so that is a very interesting take. I really like that.
When she kissed her on the forehead and, like, ran away, I was like, huh.
Yeah, she runs away. Oh, my God.
We didn't get to that part yet, but, like, I was just like, huh. That's a little weird.
It is weird, but you know what? Like, oh, that'd be such an interesting story. Yeah. Like, but one that Disney would never write. Like, that would be a different thing. Yeah, so that's interesting.
Yeah.
There are signs, so it's weird that this book doesn't. I didn't read that way at all.
Oh,
so,
really?
Yeah.
Oh, that was the first thing I got because. No, not gonna go into that. I think it's supposed to be like an auntie, like kind of like feel like an auntie.
Yeah, like somebody who's maybe not a parent, but like.
But don't let your uncles and aunties touch you, like.
Yeah, like, all right, kids, lesson. That's not taught in this. Like, another lesson that this book doesn't teach you. Let strangers
kiss your forehead. Though I brush the hair out of your eyes and tuck it behind your ear. Yeah. She does that.
Mm-hmm. And be wary, because if somebody does that to you, then they're probably death in disguise.
Death in disguise.
Yeah. So just
don't eat the food that they give you.
Right. Oh yeah.
Don't drink anything.
Exactly. Yeah. And don't leave anything behind.
Don't leave anything behind.
Hi everyone, Danielle here, interrupting the show for a brief message from our sponsor, Audible.com. I'm certain that most of you listening are no strangers to Audible, being that they are the leader in online audiobook distribution. With over 180,000 titles to choose from, it is no wonder they dominate the industry. And today, Audible is sponsoring our show by giving you a free 30-day trial plus a free audiobook of your choice. Pretty neat, right? All you need to do is visit audibletrial.com/BABAT to receive your free trial and an audiobook. Again, that is audibletrial.com/BABAT. Not sure what book you want to listen to? might I recommend a title from my own Audible library. My audiobook recommendation for the episode is A Wizard of Earthsea by Ursula K. Le Guin. This fantasy story reads like eating a five-star meal. The characters and settings are lush and the writing is beyond superb. If you want to listen to my recommendation or any of the other 180,000 titles on Audible, visit audibletrial.com/BABAT for your free 30-day trial as well as an audiobook of your choice. That's audibletrial.com/BABAT. Now, let's get back to discussing Lost in a Book. The Countess says that the books belong to the Mad Woman. Well, she told her that before. And then she changes the subject to distract Belle. Again, like, so Belle's just so engaged. And, like, Belle falls for it. She's like, Paris. So, you know, she's distracted. And then the Belle and the Countess, they start walking and they see some, what are called automatons?
Automatons.
Automatons. I've never heard that word before.
You should listen. What is that one band called? Steampunk Giraffe?
That sounds like an amazing band.
They're so good. They sing the song called Honeybee. But automatrons. It's like Chuck E. Cheese. Those are automatrons.
Okay.
Like, they're robots.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Steampunk Giraffe is a band, and they are like, they pretend they're robots.
Okay.
And they're really cool. I like them. Okay.
Cool. I'll definitely check them out.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know why I've never heard. I knew what the Chuck E. Cheese things were. I don't know what the word was that I used for them.
I always just called them robots.
Yeah, I'm thinking now, so I don't know. But anyway, the automatons are led by a man named Monsieur Chouquet?
A French. Chouquet? Something,
yeah,
French.
Yeah, you know. How it is. And the show features what is described as papier-mâché, or there's people there who are made of papier-mâché.
Yeah.
King and queen and a man with a harpsichord. And they have eyes of glass and they have painted faces.
Mm-hmm.
And so they start to perform, and they perform by being wound up by a key.
The key of life.
The key of life. Oh, so true. And Belle notices that the king, Otto, looks very sad and forlorn, and her heart hurts for him.
Hey, callback to two chapters previous when she looked into Beast's blue eyes full of anguish and pain, and King Otto, when he is losing the will to live because he's not wound up anymore, gives Belle the same look.
Belle, advice for Belle. Girl, just because somebody has sad eyes, you know, you don't need to go on this train, okay?
She probably adopts every single basset hound.
Oh, see, now that would work for her character, and that would actually be a really... Oh my gosh, can you imagine Oh my gosh, Belle the vet. Like, if they made, like, a series of, like, Belle taking care of animals, I would be so down for that
shit. Oh my god, I'm sure that's a fanfic somewhere.
Oh my gosh.
Let's go read it.
That would be amazing. Like, that could be, like, a little series of books. Like, they could just write, like, Belle takes care of animals.
She'd be like the new Doc McStuffins. Oh.
Why, Disney? So many good ideas here. Why?
Is Doc McStuffins...
She's Disney.
Is she Disney? Is that what you're gonna say? Yeah, that's what I was gonna ask.
So... Belle starts to, she sees the Countess reaching in to contribute some coins for the performance, and Belle really wants to do the same. And so she sees a boy coming around collecting, you know, contributions with his cap. So Belle, she thinks that she packed, like, coins with her, and so they just conveniently are in her pocket. So I guess, like, her clothes change, but conveniently all whatever was in the pockets are left there, because, you know, that's how it works. I don't know what to
say.
Well,
it's just...
I don't
just
know.
The clothing change. It's like Cinderella. Yeah. Actually, not like Cinderella at all.
I mean, but kind of like Cinderella, but Cinderella didn't have anything on her person. Like,
I think it would have been really cool if she reached into her pocket and it was like gold pieces versus pence.
Right.
Because like...
It transformed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because again, then she'll be like, oh my god, I have all this money in Neverland.
Yeah. Neverland.
Neverland. Damn
that's
it.
Awesome. That's
Nevermore.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah. You know, okay, I just need to comment on this now. Because you said Neverland. Like, Nevermore makes so you were saying you sort of think of Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah.
I sort of thought of Neverland. And I wonder if Nevermore because Neverland, like, Peter Pan is such, like, a beloved story.
They didn't want to piggyback on that.
Well, I guess what I mean is, like, maybe they wanted to get at something similar to that. Mm. Like, where, like, the point of Neverland is that it's an illusion.
Never grow up.
Yeah, you never grow up. Or in here, you never really, you never die, I guess. She's just stuck in there. I mean, it is the... Okay, I'm not going to say much more because there's some stuff I was going to say that is a spoiler, but...
Why did you read it?
But it just made me think, like, that there is an allusion to Nevermore, just like at Neverland.
Yeah.
And so I wonder if that was, like... I personally...
Oh, very true.
Yeah. I don't know if that was intentional, because Nevermore is so similar to Neverland, but it's so similar to... Evermore, the song from the movie.
Yeah.
So I don't know what their intention was with that, but I don't know.
I would say it's probably more like Evermore.
Yeah,
the other way.
I agree. Yeah.
I just keep saying Neverland because of my respect for Edgar Allan Poe. Nevermore.
Oh, is
the
that
Raven.
That? That's right.
The Raven.
Sorry,
third
I'm sorry.
Time.
I love how you're going like
that. Oh, that was unintentional. I wasn't flapping like a bird because I was quoting
funny.
The Raven. It's because I like when my sleeves are really long.
Oh, my headphones. Wait until you listen to this, Brittany.
Ooh.
You're going to be able to hear it too. All right. So, so Belle reaches in her pocket. She finds some coins.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes to put it in the cap again. So she would be leaving another thing behind.
Yes.
Come on, Belle. You just heard the warning. Don't you learn anything?
That's a second warning from the Beetle.
Yeah. Come on, girl. Get it together.
That knows how to talk.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Listen to talking animals.
Exactly. Listen
and
to
insects.
Them. Yeah. And just before she puts the coin in, a woman dashes by and steals the cap.
A woman in white.
A woman in white. And she gets... away before anyone can grab her.
Mm-mm-mm-mm.
So who could this woman be? I don't know.
It's the Mad Woman.
It's the Mad Woman?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, there you go.
They say that.
Yeah. And even, oh, dude, yeah, that's right.
They did say
that.
It.
Wow. Again, I'm good at my job. I'm good at what I do.
It was just, I like the suspense you were trying to build.
I know,
and
I
it's like, it was the Mad Woman. No, they said
that. Well, I guess what I was getting at was, it's love. It's love.
I just like crashing your dreams.
It's true. It's all good, though. I'm used to it. I love Belle's response. She's like, did she just steal that boy's cap? Yeah, Belle, that's what happened. Like, we all saw it, okay?
Yeah, she was lurking in the shadows.
Lurking in the shadows. And, Belle?
Go ahead.
Are you getting excited?
Yes, because this is the final, like, the first time Belle is using her cognitive thinking.
A little, yeah.
And she's like, wait, I don't get it. Isn't Nevermore the Countess's book?
Yes. Yeah.
It's because the Countess is like, she was probably just lurking in the shadows. Lurking in the shadows, most likely waiting for her chance to steal the coins. And the next line is, that made no sense to Belle. Wasn't Nevermore the Countess's book?
Yeah.
Yes. Come on, Belle. Like, why would there be a mad woman if she's writing this?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But then the Countess is said, and she says, like, a generic line where she's basically, like, saying, well, the characters, you know, when you're writing a story, and the characters do their own thing. Like, that was probably highlighted, I don't know, in the Kindle version. I don't know if people...
No, they didn't, which is,
wow.
I'm really surprised, because that kind of is pandering to writers.
Right.
Because
Kill your darlings? Is that what
Kill
you're
your
about?
Darlings.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I also heard someone say kill your gays.
That's completely different, but yeah.
But it was like the same kind of concepts.
Yeah,
know,
kill
like...
your yeah, kill your gays is more like when people sort of like put like bring people like gay people into the narrative but then kill them off instead of like so that's a little
developing
different
the
than
but
yeah.
I like this is what it makes me because it was from Oh No Lit Class podcast.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I just started listening to them, and they have their degrees in literature and English as well. And they talked about the trope of kill your gays. And I was like, I don't know any of this stuff.
Yeah,
and I was like, oh, my God, Danielle was talking about kill your darlings.
Yeah, they're different, but, yeah, similar, like, in
yeah.
like what it sounds like. But, yeah, yeah, that's a very interesting one.
Yeah.
Gays. And it happens a lot more than you think.
That's upsetting.
Not on shows I watch, like, maybe the... The 100, I think it's called, it happens. Ooh. Have you watched that?
No.
Neither have I. But I know, I think on Once Upon a Time it happens.
Walking Dead.
Does it happen? Did they talk about that on the show? Okay.
Oh, no, never... not on the show, but I know.
Oh, okay, watched... you know about it. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I've never watched The Walking Dead. Mm. Is it worth it? Because
I like the comic much more than
a lot of people have said that.
Much more than the show.
Yeah, you're not the first person who
I get
said
really
that.
Bored on the show.
Yeah, I'm not into zombies.
Oh my God. When I was on my old birth control, this is fine, you can keep it, I don't care. When I was on my old birth control, I had the most horrifically realistic dreams of zombie apocalypses. It was terrifying. And I talked to my gynecologist about it, and she goes, yeah, that's definitely your medicine. We have to change that. And I'm like,
really?
Okay.
I didn't know birth control could do that.
They mess you up a lot sometimes.
I knew it could mess you up, like for certain, like, health things, but...
No. Well, it was the same... I forget. I think it was Loestrin. And I know a lot of people who just went completely, like, on the other side of the spectrum. They would be angry all the time because it messes with their hormones.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So for me, the side effect was depression and these wickedly vivid dreams of horror and terror. I can't tell you all the ghost dreams I used to have, like poltergeist dreams. It's terrifying.
Dear God. Wow.
So, ladies, if you're taking hormones, write a journal. track your moods. Make sure you're on the right stuff.
Seriously, that would freak. I don't know. Sometimes I have dreams that, like, I wake up and I remember them, and I know consciously they're not that scary, but just like how it made me feel, mm-hmm. I feel like terrified.
Yeah,
like, I can't think of an example, but like, I know, like, for a fact I've woken up and I'm like, well, that wasn't that bad, but it feels so bad at the time.
Just so, weighs you down.
Yeah. So that would not work for me.
So anyway.
So Belle is distracted by a juggler and doesn't notice. This is a very weird part of the book we talked about before recording, where the Countess exchanges a nod with the French man who was doing the show.
Mm-hmm.
Implying that something, in my head, implying that something of Belle's was taken.
Yes.
But it wasn't.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Because that's what I thought, too. Because, she was going to put the coins in, but love stopped her.
Right.
Cool.
Yeah.
It says explicitly that she puts the coin back, coins, plural, so she didn't lose one. Like, I thought maybe the Countess, originally I thought maybe the Countess had someone run by, knock a coin out of Belle's hand. Mm-hmm. She would have lost the coin then. But it said coins.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
That's what I originally thought that was going.
Yeah, that's very true.
Mm-hmm.
Can we talk about, because I don't think we talked about this while we were recording.
What?
About the wording in this book.
Yes.
Because what you just said is something that I forgot. I thought about that, too, with the coins. Because
mm-hmm.
I thought, oh, well, maybe she dropped one.
Yeah.
But you were talking about, like, how it, I forget who says this, like, where it says, like, you have to lose something, lose three things.
In the very beginning, when the Beatles were spelling out things with the P's, it said three things lost, you know, and, like, three things eaten, three things lost. And so, not left behind,
right?
Not given, because Belle was going to give these coins. And so...
Yeah, I think, I'm sure it was done that way. I don't agree with it, but it was probably done for, like,
rhyming
to make
reasons.
It sound good. Yeah, to rhyme. And, you know, that's not a good reason. It's just not. You could, I mean, just be a little more creative. But again, there was probably time constraints on this book.
Mm-hmm.
You know, stuff like that. Not an excuse, but, you know, just a reality that we should definitely keep in consideration. But, yeah, there's a lot of weird wording. So, it is confusing. And even, like, my thought was, okay, so if she didn't lose any coins or coin, mm-hmm. then were they nodding because she was saying, like, good job?
I think it's supposed to show that everyone in this world is in cahoots.
That's
Henry,
true.
the harpsichordist, everyone that she meets is a creation of death. I think that's what it's supposed to be.
So speaking... not from like spoilers, like just but from where we are in this book at this time.
Mm-hmm.
Could this be foreshadowing to maybe?
Oh, definitely. I think
that could be really interesting.
Yeah.
Because
I haven't read ahead, so yeah. From my perspective, it's definitely like okay, everyone in this world is either an extension of death, or they're all in cahoots.
Right.
So that's why, after I realized that she didn't actually lose a coin at that moment, that was the only reason I think that the author would have put in that they nodded to each other in recognition. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. All right. So let me see real quick. It says the only other note I have is that what's her name? The Countess actually says to Belle that she's trembling. And I'm wondering, I'm like, you're trembling, because somebody stole a cap?
In front of you.
It's just, again, it's once again an example of, characters needing to feel certain things because the narrative demands it of them.
Yeah.
It's
because she needed to go home.
Right, exactly.
So this is a reason to send Belle home.
Right.
She was shaken by a thief.
It's such a forced narrative. I hate that. All right, so do you have any more notes for chapter 25?
Well, just going back to the kind of the nod.
Yeah.
It said, where is it? And it goes back to that trope that you hate. Hmm. Someone saying something or doing something that the main character doesn't realize.
Uh-huh.
Distracted by the man at the edge of the courtyard who was juggling a hatchet, a small dog, and a pineapple.
Yeah.
Belle didn't notice the Countess's gaze slip back to Monsieur's. She didn't see him nod at the Countess and pat the lifeless king and smile.
I hate that.
Why is he patting the king? What is maybe the purpose of the king?
Maybe
the papier-mâché king.
Maybe he's saying, good job, because maybe the king is actually alive.
Someone captured by death?
See, that's the thing. I don't know. And it's never explained.
Oh, no. Yeah.
I don't mean, I'm not speaking forward. I'm just saying in this chapter.
Oh, okay.
Okay. And I'm not saying anything by the line. I'm just, because I know how you interpreted it. It's just the book doesn't explain it. And it's
how amazing would it be if you were only in this world and death, like we said, probably 20 chapters ago, that they're all her souls that she captured.
That would be amazing.
And just making them it would be really dark.
It would be really dark.
But making them do things in her own way. He was particularly bad. He was a doctor in one life. And so he was saving all these lives. So she's like, screw him. He's going to be a papier-mâché king.
That would be amazing.
A marionette. He could only live through the life of that key.
Not only would that give so much more depth to the to death, but it would give depth to it's the
terrifying
world. And it would make it terrifying.
Yeah.
And we'll see where the book takes it. But yeah. That would be really amazing.
Sorry, just a thought baby birthing from my mouth. Ew.
Whoa.
Oh my god, I hate that bitch.
You don't know how hard it was to all these pictures. I didn't realize how terrifying vultures look.
Oh,
like,
god.
I never thought about it until I looked up photos of them.
Yeah.
And I was like, because I didn't like any of them. And I was going through and I was like,
turkey vultures aren't so bad.
Yeah, I've never.
Hawk? I don't know.
I didn't look it up, so.
Ew, I hate vultures.
Yeah.
Ew. Okay, I'm just not going to look at the TV.
I'll read the sentence.
Thank you.
One sentence summary for chapter 26. Mouchard is such a creep.
He is.
He is a creep.
He's lurking always, and every time they're in the carriage, he's opening the door, but that's. Okay, that's what you're supposed to do.
He's like,
he reminds me of the Scary Movie.
Yes, I was thinking that. Oh my god.
When the butler holds up the turkey and he's like,
grab my strong arm.
This is my strong arm. Oh. I don't like Mouchard.
No, me neither. He's a creep. He's a creep.
Do you think it's Mouchard because he's a mooch and vultures are mooches?
So I like your interpretation. Was but it on it's... purpose? I don't know. I don't know if I want to give credit to.
We have to look up the
Was
it etymology? Etymology?
Perhaps.
Of words of these things?
Possibly. That might be the word.
I know it's not the study of insects. That's close to etymology.
Yeah. I don't know what that is either. But we'll figure it out. It's all good.
Anyways.
This
is where... Okay. The Countess smoothed a stray piece of hair off of Belle's forehead. Her touch was cool as marble. Does it matter if it's not? She asked.
That is so... I can't believe I didn't pick up on that. That is amazing.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my gosh.
So funny. So, okay. So, they go back to the castle.
Yes.
And they're saying goodnight to each other.
Oh, my gosh. Oh. That's really romantic and seductive.
It is. And so, leading up to that, the Countess asked Belle what was wrong, and she goes, nothing, she said wistfully, at least nothing that makes me sound like a complete ingrate. Yeah, ingrate. I just wish I didn't have to leave, ever. I wish Nevermore was real. And that's when she brushes her hair away.
Oh, man.
Does it matter if it's not? Like, okay, just kiss. Like,
sparks flying.
Oh,
my
God.
That would be, okay. So I know it would never happen. I'm aware. But damn. Wow. That would be intense.
Yeah, and she's a widow.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh.
She protects her from the mad woman?
This makes me think, okay, I just have to go on a little tangent. I promise. A little tangent. But, so I love the movie The Sound of Music, like a lot.
The hills are alive. I've never seen the
movie.
I never seen the movie.
Okay.
So
you haven't seen it? Girl, well, Julie Andrews, like,
girl,
is my...
She's your jam.
I love Julie Andrews. And I was watching it and I thought, wouldn't it be amazing? I don't know why. I don't remember what my thought process was, but there was something where, like, she was in the... Wow, I'm blanking on the word. She's a nun. And maybe I thought...
No, go on.
No, yeah. And she, like... I thought, like, wouldn't that be interesting? Because she definitely, like, has the capacity to love, like, another person. Like, so mm-hmm. what, like, had her, like, go into the nunnery, like, or become a nun? Not nunnery is the wrong word. The convent, that's what
convent,
I'm thinking.
Convent, yeah.
And I was thinking about that, and I thought...
Nunnery
is
a whorehouse.
Yes, thank you. I knew that was wrong. I was sitting there, I was like, it's not the nunnery. It's not it. And... I thought, wouldn't it be interesting if, like, she, like, was, like, a lesbian and, like, had this, like, mm-hmm. like, interesting storyline? I thought that would be so cool.
It would be.
It's interesting. Like, that's what I thought of when you said that. But I never picked up on it in here.
Really?
I'm surprised.
It was really strong for me.
It is, especially when you did that reading, which was a great reading, by the way. She, like, kissed her on the forehead.
Yeah.
What if she's like, it doesn't have to be. Like, it doesn't have to be.
It doesn't have to be.
Girl.
It also reminds me of the point in Harry Potter when he dies and he sees Dumbledore and he's like, "It's of course it's all in your head, Harry, but that doesn't mean it's not real."
Oh, what?
And also, this is what annoyed me. This is the perfect part for the Countess to keep Belle there.
Right.
And she doesn't.
I know.
She lets her go.
Mm-hmm. I guess because she's trying to keep her cover, like keep her keep this persona up, like that make Belle think, like, and trust her, like, oh, like, you can return, like, mm-hmm. to make Belle think that this isn't permanent, because eventually, obviously, we'll see, and I don't know if it's this set of chapters, but she, like, you know,
it is
she, like, puts out the idea that you can stay in Nevermore forever.
I think it's this one.
Yeah, because in this, not like this specific chapter, but it might be this set of chapters.
I think, yeah, that's why I think so.
But yeah, so she lets her go, and so this was what was interesting to me when she says to her, like, you know, it can be real. Let me see if I can find it. So.
I'm just highlighting something to bring up. Go on.
Okay, so she says, life can be so difficult.
Yes.
And stories help us escape those difficulties. It's all right to lose yourself in one, Belle. Isn't that what you've always done? and this one is your own story, for goodness sake. What harm can there possibly be in that? So there's this weird theme going on in this book where it almost seems like this book is like a moral fairy tale to say, don't let books take over your life. If you read too much, then you'll get sucked into a book just like Belle does.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like that.
But it's also, remember in the first couple chapters, we're basically poking fun at it saying it was catering to readers.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you remember? It's like, you're not weird. You're great. This is when Chip's like, it's okay that we're all weird. Like, you just read more. And, like,
yeah.
Do you remember that?
Well, yeah, but, I mean, even Mrs. Potts and then the Beast eventually warns her, saying...
That's true. Like, oh, the Beast warns her, too?
Yeah.
Is that later on, I guess?
It's in... I don't know if it's this set of chapters, but either this one or the next one for the next episode.
Oh, he actually says...
I'm trying, or maybe it's in... for I don't know. But I know they both do. Mrs. Potts and the Beast both warn her. So I'm guessing... Sorry.
Well, Beast warns her about... some books being enchanted.
Yeah, he warns her about that. Yeah. So it might just be Mrs. Potts, this set of chapters. But she actually like outright says to her, like, you know...
don't get so absorbed.
Yeah, and it's like... that's missing the point entirely of what's going on here.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, but, like, I think... like if somebody said, like, if you're just sitting in front of the television 24/7 and you do nothing else...
mm-hmm.
That is something that... you probably shouldn't be doing.
Yeah.
And you should, like, live your life. But books aren't a bad thing. Now, granted, if you just sit there and read all the time and you don't actually do anything and you're just, like, lazy, like...
You become a slob.
Right. But mm-hmm. that's not what's happening here. And it's not remotely what Belle even gives a hint to doing. And it's just... it's a theme that we see throughout this book. And it just mm-hmm. makes me a little uncomfortable. Especially for a book that does seem to be, like... like, all these quotes about reading.
It praises and then tears down.
Yeah, it's just very at odds with these ideas. Mm-hmm. And personally, like, books are not a way to keep yourself out of the world, in my experience. Books are...
oh, really?
Yeah, books are, like, a window, have helped me understand my existence a lot better.
I think it starts off as an escape and ends up being a tool.
Yeah, like, I said to somebody one time, and they looked at me like I was so crazy, so it's hilarious. I said that with every book I read, and this is completely true, I feel like as if I have had, like, some kind of experience, and I learn from mm-hmm. that. No, it's not a real experience. I can't say to you, oh, well, I read in a book one time.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like that. Like, I'm not, like, I can't become a painter because I read about a painter in a book.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's not the case. But it just,
You've lived a life.
Yeah, like, you can literally... you can learn, you can take things away from a good story,
mm-hmm.
can hook on to something that's very human and very real. And it really helps you, like, contextualize your own, depending on where you are in life.
Yeah.
And I think
100%.
Yeah. And kids do that. I didn't do it when I was a kid, but I know tons of people who, when they were kids, they clung to certain books because of that. Yeah. And as I got older, I started doing that.
Yeah, I think that's, so, like I said, I think it's a journey, especially when you're a developing mind.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to see yourself reflected in the books right away.
That's true. Yeah.
That usually comes with cognitive development and spatial reasoning. I don't think that was the right word, spatial reasoning.
I mean, you know what I mean. Yeah.
But that's what it comes back to, the Deathly Hallows with Harry Potter for me.
Yeah.
You know, at that time, my great-grandmother had died. And I came from an incredibly Catholic background. And so I had such a hard time accepting death. Because it was always like, you know, you're going to be judged harshly by God and blah, blah, blah. And so I was like, oh, God, that's the most terrifying thing in the world.
Yeah.
Have this all-knowing... all-powerful being like, well, you cheated on that test in fourth grade. Don't you feel like shit?
Oh, yeah.
And so it was such a hard thing for me to rationalize. And then I was reading those books at around the same time.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, okay. Don't be selfish. Don't be prideful.
Mm-hmm.
Live a life that you are proud of until it's time for your...
Right.
Until it's time to depart.
Mm-hmm.
That and because death, even in that, is not an evil being.
Right, right. And in fact, it's because, just for context, that Voldemort does not want to die, mm-hmm. that he's not letting death claim him. That is like the whole crux of the story, really. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
The whole crux is that Voldemort is scared of death. Mm-hmm. That's all it is. Yeah. And if he had just lived a normal life, a normal wizarding life, he would have lived longer.
Right, right.
You know, instead of splitting all of his... Because he died at 80-some.
Right, yeah.
And Dumbledore died at, like, 150, I know, like, 7.
Yeah.
You know, if he just lived a normal wizarding life, he would have lived longer.
Yeah.
Fool.
So that's... It's just interesting because, like you said, books can meet you where you are.
Mm-hmm.
And I quote from one of the Game of Thrones books. They say, like... You know, actually, I'm not even going to say it because I don't know it by heart. So I'm going to cut that out. Or maybe I'll keep it in. I don't know. Do I want to embarrass myself or do I want to do it?
Might as well.
Yeah, might as well. I did it before. I'll do it again. Because I did leave some stuff in. But anyway.
That's right. Don't be afraid to embarrass me on it either.
I'll be like, Brittany, is it okay if I leave this in the podcast?
Yeah, fine. Let me burp and fart and everything. No, that's
more the better.
The more the better.
But yeah, it rubs me the wrong way because it almost feels like people who wrote this book are people who aren't readers, which is weird.
Which is weird.
Yeah, and
because she won so many awards, the author.
Right, and when you're an author, I mean, if you're not a reader, then
that's true. You could be an author and not be a reader.
Yeah, and. Like, so just for a bit of context as well, when I went to college, I was actually an art major, and then I switched to being an English mm-hmm. major. And when I was with my new advisor, who's brilliant, by the way, she's fantastic. Shout out to Dr. Shevlin. She's fantastic.
Hey, Shevlin.
She helped me out so much in college and still continues to. And
does she? That's mm-hmm. sweetheart.
She's fantastic. And she said to me, you know, because we had two tracks of English. We had literature and writing. Mm-hmm. And so for me, who wanted to be a writer, I was like, oh, definitely writing. And she said, you know what?
Do literature.
Yeah, do literature. Because the only, like, and I do feel this way. I felt like this before, but I didn't really know how to, like, articulate it. You learn more from reading books mm-hmm. than you do from taking a writing class. Because you could take a class in writing all you want. You, like...
Those are for the editorial people.
Exactly. Like, and I did take novel writing classes, and it helped me a lot. But what has helped me most is reading.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, I don't know. I do get rubbed the wrong way when I hear people, like, say things like, well, you're reading too much. And I'm like, you know, people can still read a lot and have a life. And I don't think that Belle, especially Belle's situation.
Yeah.
What do you expect her to do?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when this Yeah, she's alone all the time. She doesn't want to be alone, but she loves books. I don't know where to go from there. You know? Like, it's just, yeah. So, anyway. Mouchard leads Belle to exit Nevermore. Mm-hmm. When Belle is surprised to see that the trees leading to the exit have become closer together, shaggier, and the rose bushes thornier.
Mm-hmm.
That's literally how it's said in the book. Thornier.
Did it say thornier?
It
wow.
did. Yes. So there you go.
Yeah.
I do like the image of her being trapped in this book.
Yes.
Like.
Yeah.
What does it say? Like, it looks like I may be thinking a little further ahead to the next set of chapters. Let me see if I can find it.
No, I like that idea too. Because it's. It's showing that Nevermore is not all just cupcakes and fun.
Right.
And
right.
traveling to Rome.
Right.
And planning adventures and weird kisses on foreheads and by widowed women. Like it's not peaches and roses.
Right. And yeah, so that's a nice detail.
Yeah.
And so Mouchard, before she actually goes through them, Mouchard leaves. I wrote he makes like the beasts and pieces out.
He does. Just walks away. He gives her a candle and mm-hmm. kind of like leaves. And he says it in a Dolores voice.
Yeah.
Okay. First of all, I don't think a tolling bell is Dolores. You know, Dolores is like morose. It's sad. Yeah. Sorrowful. When I hear a tolling bell, like a church bell? I've never thought that.
I was going to say, I don't feel sorrowful from that. I might, like...
I don't think that's good imagery.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, I guess sometimes, like, when a bell tolls, it could be, like, for death, but, like, sorrowful might be the wrong word unless you're actually directly related to the person who's died. Like, yeah. In general, what do you feel when a bell tolls and you know it's somebody's death?
Yeah.
Maybe sorrow, but I don't know.
But those are the same bells, like, that they ring during funerals and stuff. The same ones when they toll out the hour. You know, it's the doom.
Yeah, that's true.
But I don't, like, I guess that's what they mean, the low bell.
Maybe, but even then, yeah.
But I still, I'm indifferent when I hear it.
I was going to say, like, sometimes, no matter how low it sounds, I like the sound of bells and I wouldn't feel sorrowful. I'd probably, it's a very, perhaps a nostalgic feeling. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't think it sounds sorrowful, but you know.
Yeah.
Whatever.
I didn't like that imagery. Yeah. Just that was just a personal.
Well, that happens. I mean, I guess we know this already, but that happens a bit in this book. Like, and I think it is, again, I think it's either this set of chapters or the next one where.
Excuse me.
No, you're good. She. You know, never mind. Totally lost my train of thought. Just was in there and then out.
We're talking about the imagery. We don't like it.
Yeah. Anyway, Belle finds the exit. Mm-hmm. And she notices that when she steps back through Nevermore and into the real world, that it feels like moving through a bowl of thick porridge, which I just thought was a pretty good description.
Yes, because it's getting harder to get through. But did we talk about the weird man
in the forest? Oh, no, we didn't. Yeah, so, well, it's not even a man. It's like a shadow, correct?
Well, it's a figure appeared in front of her. He stood as tall as a man, wore a man's clothing, but he had a long snout, pointed ears, and pointed teeth, too, just like a wolf. So that's what that is.
I'm trying to find that part.
That is, for me, page 158.
Okay.
I think I'm a little, like, behind. It's a little further down from here. What do you want? Right there.
Okay.
So she's walking through, she hears stuff going on, and it's like beginning to scare her because she's like, what if I can't find my way back to the book?
Yeah.
And then she, at that moment, a figure comes right in front of her and she's like, who are you? And he doesn't answer,
but then it says it's only a hedge cut to resemble one.
Ew.
So I just assumed that it wasn't anybody. But it was very specific, the descriptions.
Yeah, we'll see that later on.
Yeah.
Again, because it's not, things there are not what they seem.
Yeah, agreed.
You know, especially, that comes back later. And that's why I think that was an important detail for her to highlight.
I kind of wish that would be explored more because that would be really creepy.
It's terrifying.
Like if she just had to walk past him.
Yeah.
Like, maybe it was one of those, like one of those, paper mache things or something. Oh, like,
God.
That would be weird.
Or somebody's soul is stuck in it.
Oh, man. Oh.
I'm, like, giving myself the chills.
Yeah, it could be really... It is creepy, but it could be so much better.
It could be really scary. Yeah. So she's like, running through the woods, and she's like, well, what if the spider beetle thing was... Well, the spider beetle thing, what, Lucanos, had told her she was being fed lies.
Mm-hmm.
Was he right? Should she be weary of Nevermore? Yes.
Yeah, come on. Like, please be weary. But the funny thing is that she keeps in her head, she keeps thinking, because there are points where she's, like, weary of it, but she never actually takes initiative to...
dive into those feelings.
Yeah, like she kind of just like puts them off, and like in one sense I get that, like if you're in denial you might push that away.
Why would you want to sully the only place that you've liked since you've been captured? It's an abusive relationship, that's what that is.
Yeah So it's, I don't know, I don't want to, I don't think the book, this book is capable of like the sophistication in that regard, but it is a way to explain what is happening.
Yeah.
Maybe
the author needs to go to therapy. It's honest to God. Yeah. Like, I'm not saying she has to go. But I'm saying there's a lot of that theme keep coming up again and again. It's the same tropes of abusive relationships.
Well, even think about, like, writing can be a form of therapy that you don't even realize that you need. Mm-hmm. And I know, like, when I was younger, and I won't get into specifics, but, like, when I would write, like, and stuff, when people would say that, I'd be like, I don't write, like, for therapy or anything. Like, I write for fun. Like, I don't have, nothing here is, like, psychological. And now that I'm older and I look back, I'm like, wow, that was totally a way for me to do X, Y, and Z in a way that I could never express at that age.
Same with me in college. Yeah.
It's
100%.
Yeah. So it's very, so that could, that's actually really interesting.
Yeah. My, when I used to, when I took a poetry class in college, this was when I was in an abusive relationship and it was all so dark, like every single one of my poems. And my professor loved them. Yeah. Like it was so deep and prolific, or not prolific, profound. And then I fell in love with my now husband. And so they got really corny and sappy. And she hated that.
Hey, you know what, though?
She said they were too cliche.
Oh.
You.
Hey, but you know what? A lot of times good art comes from our suffering.
Yeah. Oh, like, no, of course.
So that would make sense.
No, but I was so angry. I'm like, I'm actually really feeling this. I love the poems. I got an B+ in that class.
Oh.
And I was so angry because, like,
B+, come on.
I could have gotten I definitely could have gotten an A, but my grammar sucks. Mm-hmm. And so does my spelling. So that's what took away from my A. But oh, well.
Good poetry speaks for itself. You don't need good grammar.
Exactly. That's why you have editors. And that was the argument I gave her, and she didn't take it.
Aw. Come on. Yeah, no, it's just interesting how, like, psychological writing is. Mm-hmm. Especially poetry, though. Especially, so I definitely get it. Poetry. But even fiction writing and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I do wonder, like, it's hard to tell what here is the author's and what is Disney's.
Yeah.
So I don't even know how to comment on that. But yeah, it's interesting. Belle, when she's back into the castle, she briefly wonders why the Countess wouldn't tell her Nevermore is bad if it truly was. Which, again, like, she wouldn't tell you. That's the point. Like,
yeah.
Come on, Belle. And Belle starts talking to herself. She believes the Countess was right in saying that the world could be lonely and frustrating and sad and confusing, but Nevermore was none of those things, at least in her mind. I wrote down, it makes one wonder if Belle is truly a bibliophile or just like a shallow impersonator of the title.
I definitely think it's that. Because she would have, if she truly, well, she, see, this is why it's confusing, because she only read a handful of books in her life.
Yeah.
Because she only has a small library, and he gets a couple new books probably once a month. Mm-hmm. So she's, what, let's say 18? Mm-hmm. Right now, 24 tops.
Yeah.
She's only probably read about 50 books in her life.
Right, yeah.
Advanced books in her life. And so I don't blame her for that, but even if you read all those, you pick up on reoccurring themes, especially if you're reading Shakespeare.
Exactly, that's exactly what I was thinking.
Especially if you're reading Shakespeare.
Yeah.
Who, like, was the master of these tropes and, like, red herrings and hidden agendas. And
yeah, and you would think, because she does that whole Shakespeare battle, she memorizes these things, that she would know. It's a great example, like, I wonder if it was actually Beauty and the Beast. Or no, I read another book. I won't say what it's called because maybe we'll read it on here one day.
Okay.
But it is like a retelling of the Beauty and the Beast story.
Okay.
And it's, her name's not Belle, it's just Beauty. And she's like, it constantly says how much she likes to read, but we never see her reading. And that's kind of, we do see Belle. Do we see her reading? I guess she talks about reading, but now that I think about it, we don't see her read at all. As far as I'm concerned.
Nevermore is the only book she's,
and she's not even
read.
That's
weird.
Maybe we should pay attention. Yeah, we should pay attention.
That's a good point.
Yeah, so we'll have to see as the book goes on if she actually does read. But yeah, it's just interesting because, like, you can tell us all you want, author, that this character likes to do this, but have them do it.
Yeah.
You know?
We have another romantic line at the end of this.
Yeah.
The Countess' voice echoed in her memory. Come back to me just as soon as you can. Girl. I will, Madame Comtesse, Belle whispered into the darkness.
Yeah, that's what she talks
just
herself.
As soon as I can.
Yeah. That's amazing.
I'm going to ship that hard.
Me too. I cannot believe. I'm disappointed in myself that I didn't pick up on that, and I wish I did.
Well, that's because I had a creepy cop kiss me on the forehead once.
Ah.
And I was like, this, yeah, that's a story. Ooh. For off the podcast.
Ooh. I had somebody tell me that their boss, like, when they, like, got a raise one time, their boss, like, went up to them and, like, hugged them and gave them a kiss on the head. And she was like, well, that's just how they are. And I'm thinking, no.
It took me a long time to realize that that wasn't okay from the police officer because we were coworkers.
Oh.
Yeah. God. It was weird.
Yeah, God. There's a lot of creepy...
Wait until we turn this off. I can't wait to tell you everything.
I'm very excited for this story. All right. Chapter 27.
Yeah. Aw. Is that Mickey's hand?
Yeah.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Do you want me to read this?
Yeah, go for it.
Mrs. Potts is clairvoyant.
I had to ask someone how to spell clairvoyant.
That's okay, you know.
That is a hard word.
It is. It's a nice word, though. I like it. Thank you. That's from, I'm pretty sure, House of Mouse. Have you ever seen that?
Mm-mm. Why is she still a teacup, then?
Exactly! It makes no sense. I guess during the time when they were cursed, they went to visit Mickey's show, House of Mouse.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so, you know, makes sense. Yeah, of course. yeah, Mickey, it's just like this compilation thing. We used to have, like, Christmas at the House of Mouse on VHS.
Aww.
Yeah, and, like, Mickey holds this, it's like a show where they just play old cartoons.
That's cute.
It actually is pretty cool, and they have all the Disney characters there. Yeah. And, like, the one we have is, like, old Disney cartoons. So they had Mickey's Christmas Carol. There's one with Donald Duck, where Pluto's helping there's another one with Pluto and Mickey decorating a Christmas tree.
Yeah.
They're nice little things. Aww. So that's what... There was more episodes. I think it was a show on Disney Channel.
Oh, it says Toon Disney, so I'd imagine.
That's right. So, yeah.
Good job, Mrs. Potts.
Yeah, Mrs. Potts. Looking fine,
getting
as always.
Getting that air time.
Yeah, getting that air time. All right. So, this chapter starts out with...
Cogsworth.
Yeah.
Going, I knew ice skating was a terrible idea.
This dialogue.
It is bad dialogue. Cogsworth is, like, a hypochondriac.
He is. I hate this embellishment of his quote-unquote character, quote-unquote, because I don't agree.
Yeah.
I know I'm being very entitled in saying that, but I don't agree.
It's not entitled. I don't like it either.
Yeah, but, and then he starts talking about, like, he literally says maybe he has malaria or leprosy, and I'm thinking...
Black plague.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. I didn't write that down. That's right. I'm like,
ugh.
I'm like, okay. Do you know what malaria is?
Yes.
Do you have context for things?
We also have a timeline now, though.
Yes, Lumiere. Yeah.
Lumiere goes, the Black Plague, he said flatly, which hasn't been seen in these parts for 100 years. That Black Plague... So now we know.
Nobody talks like
France
that.
We are.
But now we know. The more you know. So, Belle. So, at this point in the narrative.
I don't like this. I don't like the next chapter. Go on.
Oh, okay. I'm excited for that then. She didn't sleep all night. She was in Nevermore all night.
Mm-hmm.
So, this bitch is up here.
This bitch.
She has not slept all night. And she's exhausted. And this is just something to keep in mind, I'm saying, for the whole book, because I thought, wow, this is not good. Something's going to happen. Like, she needs to, like, get her sleep, girl. You need to go to bed.
Mm-hmm.
But she never does.
Yeah.
Ever. And I'm like...
Because the night before, she was up late because she went to Nevermore and...
Yeah, and so she stayed there all night.
Mm-hmm.
Now this is it. So I think, like, that's something we should pay attention to, I think, because as I was reading, again, no spoilers, but, like, as I was reading, I tried to pay attention to it, and I'm like... Oh, girl, come on.
Girl. Well, you know, you can only go about 3 days without sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And you
so
start hallucinating hard.
Oh my gosh, that would be such a good plot. Okay, you know, I'm not saying anything. So Belle is just busy longing to return to Nevermore.
Oh yeah, you do die after 3 days without sleep, right?
Is it 3 days?
And scientists of the world, let us know. I know it's not very long.
I was going to say, yeah, there are world records, but I don't know.
Yeah. But I know you start hallucinating hard.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And Mrs. Potts asks Belle to spread some breadcrumbs outside for the chickens. Yeah, for little chickens. And Chip volunteers to go too. And so, scroll past. Come back. So Mrs. Potts pulls Belle aside and she tells her that Chip's birthday is coming up and wonder if Belle could make some decorations.
Of course. She loves Chip.
Yeah, she loves doing this kind of stuff. So Belle says, yes, of course. She'll do it for Chip. But then Mrs. Potts. Wow. Mrs. Potts. She chides Belle for spending so much time alone in the library, saying that while reading about the lives of characters is nice, she must remember to live her own life. And she doesn't, like, preface it, like, basically saying, like, look, I know your situation, girl, but...
Yeah.
But still, Mrs. Potts, ignorance is a disease. Just kidding. It's not a disease, but...
Should be.
Yeah, because it's so impractical. Like, and she's, like, really warning her. And I wish Belle would have been, like, the fuck do you think I should do? Like, please. Give me, like, make decorations for your son's birthday while I'm trapped here. Like, Belle...
Maybe that's why she gave her the task.
Maybe.
To pull her out of...
Yeah, that's
true. To
pull
Belle out of her own ass. I'm gonna say that.
Maybe. Yeah, because maybe she's like, all you do is sulk.
Yeah.
That's, do something. You know, I'll get behind that, actually. Yeah, because that really is all Belle does. And then... Mrs. Potts watches Belle and Chip out the windows. And this is another one of those things. She sighs as part of her porcelain cracks, which I thought was a nice detail.
I like that detail a lot. I actually highlighted it. I was like, Karen, good detail.
Yeah, exactly. Nice detail. I really like that. And there's actually, I forgot to say, let me see if I can find it because I want to read it. It's on page 164. Let's see. Did I write what paragraph? Maybe for a little while. Okay. So Belle says, when Mrs. Potts says, like, you were in the library for so long, you shouldn't spend so much time alone. And Belle says, I only intended to read for a little while, she quickly explained. But I got lost in a good book. And so I was kind of like, oh, title drop! So I wrote that down. And yeah, that's about it. I don't know if you have anything else.
No, I think the next chapter is the one that I have a lot of trouble with.
Awesome. All right, so chapter 28. The one sentence summary. Beast is sick and Belle corrals birds. So, Chip talks with Belle and he says his mother said no to him visiting the Beast upstairs due to him having a possible relapse. But he meant relapse. So when I read
thought
that
was cute.
Yeah, I read that and I was like, oh no, I know where this is going. No. So that, yeah, that was cute.
I thought that was cute.
Because
He is a kid. But he's also learning his multiplication tables.
Yeah.
So how old is he if he doesn't know the word relapse?
The only thing I can think is I learned multiplication. I want to say third grade it was.
Was it third grade?
Maybe we touched on it a little bit in second grade, but I specifically remember our times tables in third grade. So I don't know if I'm wrong.
Times tables for me was around fourth. Okay. But I went to Catholic school, so they
maybe
don't...
lay a little different, I guess.
I don't know if you went to public or Catholic.
I was public, okay, yeah. Public school, yeah.
Definitely different.
Yeah, oh yeah, so different.
Different time schedules.
For sure. But yeah, so Belle spills the crumbs and she decides, oh, I have an idea. I'm going to write a message in the snow using the crumbs to tell the Beast to look out his window. And Chip's like kind of skeptical. He's like, okay.
You're not going to see the seeds in the snow, Belle.
I love his reaction.
You're an idiot.
It was amazing. His reaction. I loved it so much. So then, Belle, she throws a snowball at the Beast's window to get his attention. And Cogsworth and Lumiere, there's a little back and forth until they get the Beast. And the Beast is all grumpy. What were you gonna
also,
say?
How far are they?
That's a good question.
Because they hear the snowball hits. Cogsworth comes out. He's hit by another snowball.
Right.
And he's like, draw! Like, raise the drawbridge! Lower the whatevers! Like, he's yelling. We're under attack. And they're like, look over there! And they can't hear Belle.
Right.
They can't hear Belle go, look over there.
And Belle must have, like, an arm of a pitcher to throw that high with the snowball. Mm-hmm. And how convenient that they just happen to be on the side where, like, where they're going to the chicken coop or whatever to be by the Beast's window.
Yeah.
Because I think that would be a pretty, anyway, it doesn't matter. Not touched upon, but, you know, the terrain of the castle.
Mm-hmm.
It matters to me. Okay.
How it's laid out.
Yes.
Yes.
So, anyway, yeah, the message says get well soon, and you're right. There's just this.
That's
back
a lot of seed to spill.
I was gonna say
to make birds all come down and start pecking on. Also, it's winter. There shouldn't be that many birds around.
Right.
To spell out get well soon, exclamation point.
And like, my other question was like, what? Like, where do they get their resources here? Like, they can't leave the castle, so because you know they're talking furniture. So, yeah. And the Beast can't leave. Belle can't leave. So where are they getting these things?
Yeah.
Because she just wasted a lot of chicken food.
Yeah.
And they need those chickens to eat, Belle.
Yeah, well, Belle and Beast need to eat.
The right, rest of yeah, them that's don't. True. They don't need to eat. I forgot about that. That is a detail that's dropped at some point. So Belle is gladdened by the Beast's laughter, and she realizes that she has missed him. And she starts to list the Beast's faults and some good qualities.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of was like, but how does she miss him? Like,
yeah.
Whatever.
Oh, because he is also funny, caring, and kind.
Right, exactly. Belle sees with her heart.
Even though he is cantankerous?
Cantankerous.
It says cantankerous creature.
Yeah.
What the hell does cantankerous mean? The Canker Sisters.
There's
sorry, Eddie and Eddie.
You know, it's just I bad forgot
tempered.
About. Yeah, he's bad tempered, and he's never given her a reason to like be friends with him. Like, okay, so he slipped on a bar of soap, or not a bar of soap, and the mop was the bar.
It was
the
bar of soap.
Okay, that doesn't like. Cake I don't think. I think this book doesn't understand how human relationships work. Like how like how you get to know somebody. Like. Like, oh, you slipped on a bar of soap. Ha ha, you're nice and funny. I like you. Like, it doesn't...
Well, we also don't know what was said during the whole day of skating.
That's so true. You know, for the purposes of this book, I'm going to say, and this might be a bold claim, but I'm going to say, it doesn't matter.
Oh.
Because if they didn't show us, then...
It didn't exist.
It can't... Yeah, you're right. Well, some people might argue that something could exist if the author came out and said something, but I disagree.
Mm-hmm.
100%. My eye is twitching. If it wasn't said, then...
If you have to stretch for it, it didn't happen.
Yeah, exactly. Like, if... That would have been nice, though. That just reminded me how nice that would have been to have a conversation mm-hmm. there.
But they didn't. It was all Cogsworth going, I battled someplace.
I battled someplace.
I did something heroic, and none of you will ever know about it or fact check me.
Oh, Cogsworth.
Because I'm a clock.
Ew. Yeah, because I'm a clock. I didn't, like, register that until... That was great.
Thank you. I'm
thank
funny.
You. Thank you very much. Yeah. But, yeah, so we get Belle going back inside... Or, no, the Beast goes back inside due to a hacking cough.
Mm-hmm.
And then... I did like this detail where we learn how Chip is able to read and study.
Yes.
There is a magic slate and a piece of chalk that write things for him. So I'm glad the Enchantress was able to provide these magical things for them.
Jeez, you picked up on these details that I just completely missed.
I went all out, girl. Like, it was intense. So Belle reflects that she's once again alone.
Yep.
And then takes comfort in the idea that she'll be returning to the Countess soon. And I just, I guess, like, I'm wondering, okay, to me, that's dumb because she says, oh, I'm alone. You know that these people here are doing so much for you in the context of what's happening. And all you can say is, like, no, I'm alone because they're all doing their chores. So I'm all alone.
Why don't you do some chores then?
Yeah, exactly.
If you're,
like,
bored, do something.
Yeah, like, she's like, I guess I have to go to Nevermore.
Help Chip with his timetables.
Oh, that would be such a nice scene to see.
Yeah.
See, that's the thing that we don't get in this book. We don't get interactions.
Yeah,
get...
ask the harpsichord. Yeah. I forget what his name. How to play music.
Yes. Oh, my God.
You have such an opportunity to learn.
And Belle could do that because supposedly she's smart.
Mm-hmm.
And she would be great at that.
Mm-hmm.
That's all you can say at this point.
Supposedly.
Yeah. All right. On. Do you have anything else to add before we move on?
No, she just wants to get back to her girlfriend.
Yeah. So true. All right. Chapter 29 in one sentence.
Oh, mention Rome and Belle forgets about the men who raised her.
So true, actually. So Belle is back in Nevermore. We don't get to see this point when she goes to the book.
Yeah, she's just riding in the carriage with...
Is Moocher?
Moocher. Moochana. The vulture.
Moochana. They're going to the Countess's summer house.
It reminds me of the part of Monty Python when they have coconuts and they're riding.
I'm sorry to say I have not seen Monty.
God,
I know.
Danielle.
I'm sorry. I've seen... Okay, I'll tell you what I have seen. There's a movie... called Bee's Bow that I've seen.
I don't know what that is.
You probably wouldn't, but it's it's a movie about learning
your uncultured
manners.
Swine.
No. It's, I would say you're not uncultured for not watching Bee's Bow, but you are missing out. He's an alien who comes to Earth and has to learn manners. I'm mentioning this because it's a cult movie, and he picks up a phone because they're teaching him how to talk on a telephone. He picks up the whole phone, and he goes, "Hello, phone. What do you want, phone?" And I know this feels like a tangent. Like, you're looking at me like, what? Why?
Go
why
on.
Are you talking about this? But I'm just saying that I've seen Bee's Bow. That's my point. So.
Oh, my God. That's
you've
so funny.
Seen Monty Python.
I've seen
Bee's Bow.
So, excuse you.
So.
Go
yeah.
On.
That's it. So, anyway, I will watch Monty Python. I actually do have the whole collection. Just haven't watched it. You know. You got it. Anyway, so Belle reminds herself that she needs to keep track of time so she can return to Chip's party. Mm-hmm. It's tonight, birthday
foreshadowing.
Party. Foreshadowing. Okay, raise your hand if you knew that she would forget.
Both our hands are raised.
Yeah. I hope you raised your hand, listener.
Tell us if you did.
Yeah. Oh, that we can have a poll when this episode
comes out.
Yeah, raise
your hand.
Woo! Both hands. Yeah. I mean, seriously.
Dear God.
So as the coach approaches the summer house, Belle stares goggle-eyed. That's the word it uses.
Yeah. Was it supposed to be googly-eyed?
Probably, but that's how it's spelled. It looks
It is goggle-eyed.
Yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe it was... But that's weird.
Googly-eyed.
You would think it would be googly-eyed.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's strange, but...
I don't know. I never seen that descriptor before.
Me neither. She gets so excited that she proceeds... It says... This is a really weird sentence to me. That she proceeds to whack her head on the window frame. It, like, says it right after that.
Does it say that? She whacked her head when she was coming out.
I don't think she comes out yet when that happens.
Googled-eyed, she sat up straight, whacking her head on the window frame. She has her head outside.
Oh, so she was sticking her head out.
She was sticking her head out, and then she's like,
"Oh
my God!" And she sat up straight and hit her head.
I just think that's funny. Like, I just picture that.
Just like boom, boom, boom.
I just picture her like sticking her head out and going, "Pooh! Oh my God!"
like there's a window.
Yeah.
No, she was outside.
Right. Okay.
And she's like, "Oh."
That's funny. Well, it's still funny either way. And anytime she's smacking her head on something, it's funny. My favorite part, I think I mentioned this already in the new movie, the only redeeming quality of that movie was when the Beast throws a snowball at Emma Watson and just like pelts her in the face.
So
I cracked up. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, Belle should definitely be a huge klutz in like the entirety in the entire part of this. I think she should just be falling over. Just a klutz. I think that would add so much depth to her character.
Yeah, a little bit. And it would be like, it would just be something. Give us
Can't
something.
Dance. Yeah.
Yeah. Belle, it would give her at least some kind of personality versus what we get. She remarks out loud to herself that the summer house looks more like a miniature palace.
And that the countess must have 1,000 acres.
Yes, indeed. So the countess comes out, and apparently she owns greyhounds. That's a detail that I missed on my first reading.
Also, this was really funny to me. She comes out in billowing cloaks.
Yeah.
And with her 4 greyhounds, and turns away and goes back up the stairs.
Yeah, that
it's good to see you.
Follow me.
She is Snape. Can I?
Yeah,
like,
that's what I thought of too.
Yeah.
Well, okay. So first, I thought of, I don't like that I thought of this, but I thought of on the last Harry Potter film when Voldemort has like his cape turns into those snakes that go around Harry.
Oh yeah.
So that's what I first thought of. But then my second thing, because I kept thinking of Harry Potter, was Snape's cloak when in the last film, he like pulls it over himself and then he flies out of the...
They constantly in the book say that Snape's cloak is billowing like a giant black bat.
Like a bat, yeah.
And like when she kissed her on the forehead and then ran away, and then the countess ran away. That is so funny. It just reminded me of Snape if he did that to Lily.
Oh
just and just like ran away.
That would be a Potter Puppet Pals. And
oh
that would
my
be great.
God. Potter Puppet Pals.
Snape. We did that at the same time.
Dumbledore. Harry Potter.
There's like an animated version of that, like before they made those live action puppet ones.
Oh really?
And something happens where like Snape, Ron, and Harry both get cursed or something, so they're lying on the ground, but they're not dead. And Dumbledore comes in, and he's like, oh. And then he ducks down, and all of a sudden he comes up, and he's naked, like the puppet.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, naked time! And I'm like, oh, my God.
And Potato Neville.
Yeah!
Aww. Oh, God.
Poor Neville.
Go watch those videos.
They are fantastic.
Bring them back to life again.
Did you know that the Potter cast used to watch those videos on set?
Oh, I'm not surprised.
They wanted to recreate it. And I'm so mad that they never did.
With naked Dumbledore.
Well, I guess they wouldn't do that.
100% do it.
Oh, my God. No, I don't want to see that. Not Michael Gambon. No, thank you. Though he's in some pretty dark stuff. Have you ever read The Casual Vacancy by J.K. Rowling? There's an adaptation of it made by the BBC. And I watched it. And
he was in it?
Yeah, he plays a character, and he's a lot better in that role.
Oh, good.
And he does some very questionable things, very naughty things.
Please don't pretend I'm in the Goblet of Fire.
That is atrocious.
No one in the Harry Potter community will ever let that down.
I certainly won't, yeah.
He never read the books.
No, he didn't. I don't.
I agree and I disagree with it.
Yeah.
I like that he did it. Did it well.
I don't think he did it that well.
Oh, really?
I liked him as the movies went on, but I still... not hashtag not my Dumbledore. I don't know. I just don't... I like Michael Gambon. I didn't like him in that role. I don't know. But I...
Yeah.
Sorry.
Anyway,
we went on a tangent, yeah?
Harry Potter. So, Belle comes to the Summer Palace with the intent of planning their trips. Because the Countess had promised her that she could take her anywhere in the world as long as she's in Nevermore. And Belle's like, that sounds amazing. Mm-hmm. So she's here with the intention to plan their trips.
Correct, yes. And she sees a lot of random people there who's not she's not introduced to.
She's having a party.
Yes. And they walk into this room, which is not explicitly called a library, but it says that all 4 walls are covered in bookcases.
Oh, really? I thought it said library.
Did it say? Okay. Let's fact check what I did.
So you and I just, like, go through these books so quickly.
Yeah.
The room was filled. Oh, the study.
The study, okay.
That's what it's called, the study.
Yeah. I missed that, actually. I didn't realize that's what it said. And Belle notices her father's music boxes in the shelves. And, like, I'm just wondering, like, Belle, like, how... It's just so weird to me. Like, how did the boxes get in there? like it's just weird.
And that's what I was saying before. I think Belle might assume that the Countess is real.
Okay.
And and Nevermore is kind of just like an, because she knows about enchantments. Magic is real in this world. She realizes that when she meets Beast. So I guess it's not too far-fetched that there's an enchanted book.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, that's not too far-fetched. Yeah, so, you're right. Yeah,
that's what. Yeah. That's my thought process.
Okay. Yeah, definitely. So Belle, she goes over to the music boxes and she notices that she doesn't really recognize them, or at least the specific one she's looking at.
Mm-hmm.
So she kind of assumes like maybe it was made before she was born, and she starts getting teary-eyed.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Countess calls her over to introduce her to Professor Armando Tuffatore. And I had to look this up because I thought this was a joke at first. It said from Università di Bologna, which I was like, Bologna? Like, is that what that is? Like, I so want that to be it. And that, but no, it's a real university. It's one of Italy's oldest universities.
Shout out to our Italy, well, Italian listeners.
Yeah. And the Countess says he can help them devise their travel itinerary.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty cool.
Belle forgets about her father.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Totally. She's totally like, and it keeps saying like he's in the background of her mind. But let's be honest.
It's not.
It's she. The fact that she's planning a trip to Italy is enough for me. Like, no, you're not really that interested in like him anymore. Sorry, girl.
Mm-hmm.
The professor names some cities and theaters and museums to visit and lectures to attend, and Belle almost forgets about her father, or almost, but basically she does forget about him, as we said.
And he talks about how she must spend a month at least in Rome.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
That Belle understands that Nevermore runs on the same timeline as the castle.
Right.
So how is she going to get away with spending a month in Rome?
Right. And it hasn't been proposed yet that she stay there forever.
Yeah.
So why would she even be thinking that?
Mm-hmm.
Because as far as she's concerned, that's not a possibility. We do get an interesting detail that she declines sandwiches, as we talked about. She's just too excited from her travel plans,
mm-hmm.
which I'm like, if it were me, I would just fall for this right away, because I'd be like, oh, food, yeah, mom, mom.
Same,
you know. And she doesn't, this is another one of those things, she doesn't notice the Countess's face darken.
She gets annoyed.
Mm-hmm. She's like, oh,
eat the fucking sandwich.
I would love to see this, like,
third person.
Yeah, oh, that'd be amazing, like, to have this, like, actually be like an adult like story, like somebody rewrite this the adult version, like eat the fucking sandwich, like
her inner monologue,
yeah, like a comedy. So Henry arrives.
Mm-hmm.
His last name, I wrote it down because for some reason I forgot that we already met him when I was writing the notes, but his last name is, well, okay, he's a duke,
his title, yeah,
Duke des Choses Passus. No, like, chooses passes? What does that mean? So I went on Google Translate. It's Duke of Things Passes. And I kind of wish that meant something, but
it might be Things Past.
Yeah.
Because Google Translate might.
So I wonder what that means, because, like,
Duke of Things Past. Past things.
Yeah. But what would that mean? Like, I don't.
What's the significance?
Yeah. And I don't know if there is. Like, because he's not a part of her past. And it's not like he represents anything.
Yeah. If anyone knows French, read this and tell us if there's a different type of translation. Because mm-hmm. I know sometimes things get, like, flip-flopped.
Mm-hmm.
And things might also be opposites. So let us know if that is the correct interpretation.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right. Like, the Duke of Past Things. Or Things Pass. Choices Pass. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's weird. A lot of these things are weird.
Yeah. It would be interesting if we actually get a reason why.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. So, that just stood out to me this time. I didn't notice it ever before.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Good.
All right. So.
Oh.
We are done. It's crazy, right?
Yeah, that was a short one, I feel.
Yeah. It was shorter because we didn't go on all the tangents. Yeah, but I true. Like our tangents, so you know what. You know. Next episode. Well, I guess we should reflect real quick on the chapters. So what did you think of the chapters?
I am happy that we're finally in Nevermore More. Because there's definitely more development that is taking place. You start seeing Death's persona crack. You get a feel that it's starting to be, it's a darker place than originally thought. Belle is finally having some type of development of, cognitive development. She's like, oh, hey, things aren't always what they seem. I still don't like the interactions between her and Beast. I still don't like the interactions between her and the servants. And I still think that Belle and the Countess are lovers.
I love that interpretation. Mm-hmm. I am so mad that I didn't realize it as well. And now I'm like, wow, how can I respect myself anymore? I can't. Because
I can't.
I just can't. But no, that was a really good reading of it. Yeah. And one that would be really interesting. But I'm kind
of. We're officially halfway through the book.
That's right. We are. We're officially halfway through. I forgot. Yeah, that's right. So. Great.
Yeah. We finally things develop. How do you feel about these chapters?
I'm kind of really on the same page as you, but I'm glad that there's some kind of development going on. What mm-hmm. I'm not glad about is that I just don't understand how we get from point A to point B. She's saying she's starting to question things, but she doesn't really, because then she kind of goes one step forward and then five steps back.
She excuses it, yeah.
Yeah, so it's kind of I guess it's partially bad writing in my opinion, but also it's partially my understanding of the story and Belle and how mm-hmm. I picture her being maybe smarter than this character is.
Yeah.
So I will recognize that it is partially on my own part that I'm seeing these faults, but I also think that
Halfway through, I still don't know how it's going to resolve her and Beast falling in love.
Yeah, and I think you have to wonder.
Unless she's trapped there and Beast comes in and he's like,
I'll tell you, and I speak personally and where I was when I read this, so I won't say any spoilers.
Yeah.
That my personal thought when I was reading this was okay, so the Beast, maybe we'll have to save her?
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking, and so yeah, we'll see what happens, but
I would like that. I think that would be really cool.
It would be cool, but even that would be problematic because then that would be an arc for them. So that would be an arc. Where does the story go from that? When they fall in love, because it almost speeds up their falling in love story because he realizes he has to save, he has to save her again.
Well, I think that would be beneficial. Okay, I'm sorry. We're going. Yeah, I know. This is supposed to be ending notes.
Yes, we're getting more into things, so we'll stop.
Yeah.
All
right. So find us on our social medias. Mm-hmm. We're on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Goodreads. We have two pages on Facebook, a group and a page. So get on both of them. We're gonna have further discussions on our group page. Mm-hmm. Where can they listen to us, Danielle?
Well, they can listen to us on iTunes, mm-hmm. Google Play, mm-hmm. Stitcher, mm-hmm. possibly Spotify. Possibly.
Possibly.
Possibly. It's a big possibly. And our website.
That website, Danielle? Oh,
well, let me tell you. That website is B-A-B-A-T. I don't know why, but I was thinking P, I guess, for podcast. And so I was like, it's not P.
What is it?
Tpodcast.com. Babat Babati. Babati. You know, Babati sounds more just kind of rolls off your tongue. Babati.
Because it's boba tea.
Yeah. Babati.
Babati.
Anyway, I'm you can't see me, but I'm putting my hand out and I don't know why. So, next episode.
Whoa.
Tissue's falling on me. Next episode, we're going to discuss chapter 30 through 34.
Read along with us.
Yes, please do. So, with that all being said, thank you so much for listening. We love having you here with us.
Shoot us an email. Tell us how we're doing.
Yes, please. And with that, We'll talk to you all next time.
Good night.
Good night. Or good day. Good morning.
Good morning.